obviously. Rabbi Sarah, please. This week, it's Parashas Yisro. Yisro is Kabbalas HaTorah, the Aseres HaDibros. This is a Zohar. Maybe read you the Zohar. The Zohar says that the Kriyas HaTorah is completely patterned after Kabbalas Matan Torah. When a person stands before Hashem, when a person gets an aliyah, when you stand by the bima, it is equivalent to standing at Har Sinai. Let me actually read you the words of the Zohar. It's a very beautiful expression. If I can find it over here. Where is it over here? Let's see. Okay, no, it's not over here. It's probably... Let's see. Here it is. Okay. The Hachi Is Hashem, this is what it says in the Zohar. Kat Solik Sefer Torah Taman. These are the words of the Zohar. When you... Solik means when you put down the Sefer Torah Litamon there, meaning the Bima. Kidain Ban Kol Amo Lesidra Garmayu Lisata, which means Kidain means all the people have to... the Hebrew translation of these words are Tzrichim Kol Am Lesader Atzmam Lemata. Kidain then, Bon, it is necessary, Kol Amo, all of the people, Lesadra Garmayu, to prepare themselves, litato, I guess at their location, be'emisa, bidchilu, breses, bezeya. Four words, ema, bidchilu, reses, and zeya, with fear, ulchavno libayu, to pay close attention, kimo, as if, the hashta kaimin altura de Sinai. They're standing right now in front of Har Sinai, lekabola oiraisa, to receive the Torah. Vihoin tsaisin, viyerchoin odenayu, they should tilt their ears to listen carefully to every single word that comes out of the mouth of the Baal Kuria. So this is a Zohar. The Zohar, a lot of things we don't even realize, but we see only how influenced we are by the Zohar. And the Zohar tells us that when Chazal patterned, when they created a takana, we should learn the Torah every Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos, it is basically a reenactment of Kabbalas HaTorah. And as an expansion upon this, there are two different mahalchim how to understand the different people that we once spoke about this, the two different types of mahalchim to understand the people who stand by the bima. There are generally three people that stand by the bima: the Baal Kriya, the one who lanes, and there is the Gabai, and there is the Oyla, the one who ascends to get an aliyah. Some cite, he brings that over here, in the Rav Chaim Noeh, and from the Torah Chaim, okay, who's the Torah Chaim? I don't know who the Torah Chaim is. That there is also, he brings down, it's not just nothing, that there should be a Gabai Sheni. We once had a whole discussion about this. We're not going to go into discussion again about a Gabai Sheni. Is it really necessary? Pasha says it's not necessary. Yet, obviously, Pukhazi Ma'ama Devar, almost every single shul, there usually is a Gabai Sheni. And Rav Chaim Noeh says there should be a Gabai Sheni. What's the Makor? It's not so clear what the Makor is. But certainly, there are three people that have to be there. There's the Gabai, the Baal Kriya, and the Oyla, and the Nevevi Nafkamina. Some places, the Baal Kriya likes to dominate. The Baal Kriya is the Gabai. Is that proper? Is it proper for the Baal Kriya to also be the Gabai, to be the one that calls up the people for the aliyahs? You do see that sometimes in some shuls. Sometimes you see the Baal Kriya, he's in control.
The Chayadim and a couple of other poskim say it's not legal.
It's illegal.
Because he's not allowed, no, he shouldn't do it, because he's not allowed to be mafsik and making Mishaberas. Just saying Yamo, he's being mafsik and the Baal Kriya is not allowed to.
He's being mafsik, fascinating. There, I never heard that before. Very, very fascinating. Is that the Baal Kriya? Okay, so he's saying a new din that when the Kriya Satara begins, when they make the first bracha until the end of the laning, you should minimize hefsik. So if the Baal Kriya is going to call up the people, he's being mafsik to a degree that is not proper. What you're saying is very true, because it's brought down in the, I remember seeing this in the bells of Svarma on Kriyas HaTorah. There's a lot of halacha. For example, which aliyah should you give? Let's say there's a simcha. Let's say there's a bar mitzvah. So should you give the bar mitzvah boy maftir? Well, no, let's say the bar mitzvah boy is not going to lane. He's not laning, whatever it is. So should you give him shlishi? Should you give him maftir, chosan? Which aliyah should you give the people, you know, the balei simcha? So if you're going to, if when you give them the aliyah, they're going to sing, they're going to throw bags, they're going to make a whole commotion, it is not proper to give them an aliyah in the middle, because you're being mafsik in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. The reason, one of the reasons is what it says, that, you know, you can say whatever you want to go say, you have to find a makar to see everything he's saying is accurate, but one of the reasons why there's the meaning to give the chosan maftir, to give him the maftir, is because since when you give a chosan, everyone who comes to wish mazel tov, and they sing, and they throw bags, they throw nuts, whatever they throw, there is a hefsek. It is not proper. So if you already finished the entire Kriyas HaTorah, you lane the Shiva Kruim, and you're now up to Shvi, and even up to, you're certainly finished. Once you finish Shvi, you're totally finished the Shiva Kruim. Now you're doing Maf, you're doing the HaTorah. So now when you're being Mafsik for all of these things, it's not a Zilzul in the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. But if you're going to call upon that, because L'chor, you could say you should give the Chosin Shlishi. Shlishi is more Choshev than maftir. It's you know, there are different, all different opinions. What is the most chashev ali? But the pashas is that the last li is not the most chashev, according to many. Not everyone. They all, we have once discussed also.
You have to give up this boy the most chashev ali.
Because it's his simcha. I think he has a chiyuv. He's a chiyuv. The first thing when it comes to giving an aliyah is who is. He's a chiyuv. I think it's a shulchan aruch. He's a chiyuv. The rabbi's not a chiyuv. If he is a chiyuv, automatically that means he has a kedima in the most choshev. I mean, that's an assumption. He has a person has the chiyuv. Like the marshal, people ask, how come when you bench, you don't say bereshus ba'alas habayis hazeh? No, she went. She slept a whole night preparing this delicious meal. She the whole week she was preparing, and now it comes to the meal, and you come to your guest. And they give you the cup of wine, and they bet, and they say brishus balabayis hazeh. The balabayis didn't lift a finger to prepare this meal. He didn't even earn the money. The wife is a doctor, a lawyer. She earned the money. She spent the whole night preparing. The husband's in kollel. He didn't lift a finger. And they go brishus balabayis hazeh. Why you have their heart say brishus balas habayis hazeh? The answer is, under no condition can the woman lead the benching. She doesn't. The halacha is that the woman does not lead the benching. You say b'rishus ha-koyein. Okay, let's say there's a koyein there in the house. B'rishus ha-koyein u'v'rishus balabayis hazeh. Because me'ikur hadin v'ki dashtoi, the one that really is supposed to lead the benching is the koyein. But, or the balabayis. The balabayis is his house. He's the one that really is in charge. So since me'ikur hadin, they are the ones who should lead the benching. So then you have to ask rishus. You're not asking rishus out of being nice. Oh, it's so nice. You're such a nice person. That, you give a bracha. You make a harachman who yivarech es bal habayis hazeh, v'es ba'alas habayis hazeh. You can bless them. Yirotzo in the middle of Necha, you can do that. Adarabba, it's mamish in the benching. But when you take rishus to lead the benching, it follows the halacha. Who now does Shulchan Aruch assign first rights to lead the benching? It is the balabais. It's his home. He has kedima to bench. Or if there's a koyin, you have whatever the halachas are, a koyin, if the balabai is not going to bench, the koyin should bench. Vikidashtai. If you're benching, you have to ask permission, because the halacha does not entitle you to bench. So he comes to get an aliyah. The first question you have to ask is, who today has an obligation to get an aliyah? Who is a chiyuv? So the people who are the chiyuv, l'chayra, I know Mordechai, you're suggesting differently, they, l'chayra, if they have an obligation, so they're from the first. Okay, so you have a shul, you have a rebbe, and the minig is to give the Rebbe Shlishishi, to give this one, it's a grandfather. Okay, in a chanami, there's a certain convention of doing things. But in any event, when it comes, there is such a thing where, let's say, there are aliyahs that are choshuv, and not every situation does the rabbi is supposed to get an aliyah every week, and not every situation do the parents want the aliyah, whatever the situation is, yet it is the minhag Yisrael to give the chassan, to give the bar mitzvah boy, maftir. Maftir is not necessarily the most important aliyah. Some say it is, but most opinions say it's not. It's not the most. Why then are we giving?
Bar mitzvah boy with maftir is problematic in just one thing. Some people are giving him the aliyah, but the father has to know that he does not say baruch shepetrani, because the bar mitzvah boy is not doing anything which can be done by a cop.
What? Yeah, I hear what he's saying.
Say that again. Please explain. Say it again. Wait, let's hear what he says. Please explain. Correct. So you don't need to be a gadol.
No, so the first aliyah is not here. The father does not say baruch shepetrani.
Why not?
Because he's not, because the cousin's not doing anything as a gadol.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, but my question is, I remember learning this. Meikar Hadin, the father can say Baruch Shepatrani even if he doesn't get an aliyah. You go to shul in public.
No, he told you no. He's not, for example, he davens Maya. Let's say davens Maya Friday night.
Okay.
The boy davens to the Yomit. He says Baruch, the father says Baruch Shepatrani.
After Baruch Hagomah. It's a half
something as a
government. It's a half
lesson. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. You say that you're saying Baruch Shepetrani by the father should only be said when the bar mitzvah boy does something that cannot be done by a child. I hear very well. For some reason in my mind, I vaguely remember, we have to look
okay,
into
if
this.
If I may, I have a completely different, twist on that, the same subject.
I'm
still talking.
Sorry?
The Minyan Yerushalayim, Rabbi Yashin writes, the Minyan Yerushalayim is to give the
Chosan Maftir. Why? So I saw written up in the Bells of Sefer, a whole thick Sefer on Kriyas HaTorah, the reason why the Minhag Yisrael is to give the Chosan Bedavka Maftir, give Bar Mitzvah Boy Bedavka Maftir, is because the Minhag is also to celebrate, is to throw bags, is to sing. Bar mitzvah, fine, okay, maybe not by bar mitzvah, but even by bar mitzvah, people come up to wish mazel tov, and it turns into, in many shuls, into a very big hefsek.
Yes.
A hefsek. And it is proper to attempt to minimize the hefsek between the aliyos as much as possible. Because since Me'ikar Hadin, I'm going to let you say, since Me'ikar Hadin, in the time of Chazal, the Takana was, the one who gets the first Aliyah makes the Bracha Rishoina, and the one that gets the last Aliyah makes the Bracha Acharoina, and everyone in the middle does not make any blessing at all, and even the one that gets the first Aliyah does not make a Bracha Acharoina, and the one that gets the last does not make a Bracha Rishoina, so Chazal have demonstrated is that all of the seven kruyim are be'etzem one aliyah. Not after. Let me finish. I'm going to let everyone talk. Let me just bring out the point. It's generally one hemshech. It is one mitzvah that begins with the first aliyah, ends with the last aliyah. It is not proper to be mafsik at all between the shiva kruyim. Now, obviously, we're not makbid on this, obviously, because we make mishaberachs, and we call up people, and of course, everything, there's a solution to every single problem, but when something unusual happens, and there is a very significant hefsek, that is not proper. Now, let me elaborate, and I'll let everyone say, in some shuls, there's a minuk, and it's not so partially allowed to do this, is where the rabbi speaks in between each aliyah, and gives a little mini drasha, a synopsis of the coming Aliyah. So that is not so simple, because the Kriyas HaTorah is meant to be one mitzvah from beginning to end.
Yeah, Rav Moshe didn't allow any speeches in between.
In the Aliyahs, it's meant to be one continuous stretch with no hefsek between the Aliyahs. So again, we do not adhere to this 100%, and I guess I'm assuming one of the reasons why we're more makel is because everyone, the minigis, every single oila makes his own bracha rishoyna and bracha acharoyna. So somehow that maybe allows there to be a little bit of a hefsek. But when you're setting yourself up to call up a person to whom everyone is going to celebrate with, like a chosan or a bar mitzvah boy, you are adding to the davening an unnecessary, to the laning, an unnecessary hefsek. Therefore, if the ideal thing is give that person the last aliyah. Because when the bracha concludes after the shvi, the kriya, the mitzvah of kriya satorah is complete. Now there is no damage if you have an elaborate hefsek. So this is what it says in the Sefer. And that is why, even though maybe you can argue that a chosan or bar mitzvah boy, if you're going to give them an aliyah and there are no other chashuvim, whatever the case is, you would think maybe you should give them shlishi, give them shishi, by benching. You go to a bar mitzvah, you go to a bar mitzvah where they gave the rav benching, I never saw that. You go to a bar mitzvah, who do they give benching to? To the bar mitzvah boy. This is the way it is all Klal Yisrael, they give the bar mitzvah boy. And they don't give this, why don't you give the Rabbanim? No, give the Bar Mitzvah boy. Give the Bar Mitzvah boy. It's his day today. Give him Shlishi. Give him Shishi. What are you giving him? The last Aliyah? Not everyone holds the last Aliyah is the most Choshev Aliyah. There's a problem. If you're going to give the Chosan Shlishi and they're going to throw bags and everyone's going to sing and they're going to come up to celebrate when the Sefer Torah is there on the Bima, it's not the proper thing.
Okay, very good. Okay, so two things. Okay, first of all, there's another reason that they don't give a bar mitzvah boy, they give them specifically maftir. And why? Because he may not actually be a godo. Even though he's 13, he may not have a Cyrus. And I was a gabbai for 25 years or so. In Renewal Street, another problem is to give, Kriyas HaTorah is just the Rabbanon, but the problems would be like Pasha Zohar, they were very mockish not to give a Bar Mitzvah boy, the Pasha Zohar. So I'm suggesting first, there's another reason is, because of the Bar Mitzvah boy not being a Godol yet, therefore to give him Maftir, which is even okay for a Katan. That's one thought.
Let him finish. Yeah.
Okay. The second thought was, what were you talking about? Once again, I was a gabbai many years in the shul, and it was when the for some reason when let's say. For some other reason, somebody else got machdia, and it was a bar mitzvah. It was never, ever a havamina to give a bar mitzvah boy shlishi or shishi. They usually got kamishi, or maybe revi or something. Never did they get more chashuv. Never even have a havamina.
Okay.
And in many other shuls, I've seen it also. Never a havamina to give him particularly shlishi.
Okay. I hear.
Of
course you can have more than one Bali Simcha. In Chaim Berlin, how many times will you have three chasanim? In June, you could have three chasanim. Four chasanim. You could have a bar mitzvah boy and a chasan. You have every possible combination. Okay, we're just discussing general terms. And how many times does it happen where a bar mitzvah boy prepared the wrong parsha and then he discovers that he's not yet bar mitzvah? So can he lane? Can a boy, this happens more often than you think. The boy prepared the wrong parasha and he's not really bar mitzvah. You know what? They let him lane also. They don't tell anyone. Just don't tell anyone. Don't ask. Don't tell.
Well, they stopped him. They stopped the bar mitzvah boy from laning because he would go and walk around. you know, by
all right, that's another story. Okay, he's doing it by heart. Okay, but there are many stories where Bar Mitzvah boy Meikar HaDin, even a katan can be the Baal Kriya. It's not obviously the ideal thing, but in certain situations...
They have to wait
for us. Of course. Okay, let's go further. Rabbi, let's go further. Now, let's go further. Now, the three people that stand by the Bima, who do they represent? So there are two Mahalchim. The first Mahalchim is from the Levush. Levush says is that the Gabai is Bimkoim the Ribonei Shaloylam. The Gabai, again, this is all based upon the Zoyar. The Zoyar says, Kriyas HaTorah is Matan Torah. Kriyas HaTorah, person has to behave. He uses four words. You have to feel terror. You have to feel by Matan Torah, when Hashem Lokecha, the Neshamos departed. There was a Pachat. There has to be a semblance of Yiras HaRoimimus at the moment of Kriyas HaTorah. It is a reenactment of Matan Torah. The Shul is Har Sinai, and the Bima is Sinai itself, is Har Sinai. And when you're standing around the Bima, you're standing in the Midbar around Har Sinai. And you have to behave with the same Yiras HaRoimimus. That would also explain the Minog Yisrael, which is not so posh, is why people, why in B'nai Torah and Yeshivas, they're very makbet to stand for Kriyas HaTorah. The Gra sat. The Vilna Goin for Kriyas HaTorah, he sat. But in the B'nai HaYeshivas, they stand. Why? I don't know why, but obviously if you learn like the Zoya with the words that we just read, that is a reenactment of Matan Torah. By Matan Torah, they stood. They didn't sit around Har Sinai. It says, referish in the Pasuk, they stood around Har Sinai. Okay, next. The Gabai is the Bimkoim the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Baal Kriya is Bimkoim Moshe Rabbeinu. And the one that gets the Aliyah represents Klal Yisrael. This is what it says in the Levush. The Levush, I'll read the words, the Skan, which is the Gabai, he's Oymed Kaviyachal Bimkoim Hashem Yisparach. Sharehu Mitzave Likrois Lemi Sher Yosha Be'enof. Hashem is in control. Hashem decides who, Hashem controls the Torah is going to be given, who reads and who accepts. So the Shatz is the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's been called the Ribbono. The Hashliach Tzibur, that means the Baal Kriya. It's interesting to learn the terminology. What we call the Gabai is what the Levush calls the Skan. What we call the Baal Kriya is what the Levush calls the Shliach Tzibur. The Baal Kriya is the Shliach Tzibur. Hu HaKorei V'hu HaSirsur B'mkoy Moshe. He calls him really three terms. He's the Shliach Tzibur, he's the Korei, and he is the Sirsur. He's the one that is the middleman between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'ho'oylehu ha'makabula b'mkoyim kol Yisrael uvishlichusam. He represents Klal Yisrael. This is the Shita of the Levush. However, there is another Shita, another opinion, and the Mishnah Brewer bring the Mishnah Brewer, the Mishnah Brewer, what I just told you now from the Levush, the Mishnah Brewer quotes word for word. I just quote you now from the Mishnah Brewer. In the Yavetz, Rav Yaakov Emdin, he has a different mahalach. Where does he get this from? Where does he, I don't know where he gets this from. It doesn't say where he gets from, the Yavetz. Rav Yaakov Emdin, he says that the Koirei is Hashem. The one, the Baal Kriya, represents the Ribbonoi Shel Olam. The one that gets the Aliyah is the same as Klal Yisrael, and the Skan is Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's very interesting, when you look at the Gabai, you never look at the Gabai the same anymore. The Gabai is either the Ribbono Shel Olam, or the Gabai is Moshe Rabbeinu. The Baal Kriya is either the Ribbono Shel Olam, according to the Ivates, or according to the Levush, is Moshe Rabbeinu. And everyone agrees the one that gets the Aliyah represents is representative of Klal Yisrael. Okay, next topic. How many parashios are there? The Zohar, everything comes from the Zohar.
What about the Shita that holds that there were two?
What are there two?
That there were two Gabbai.
It doesn't say why. All he says is, I'm going to go.
Can I answer this?
Yeah.
Used to be, initially, the Oila was the Baal Kriya. So you needed three people at the Bima. So you needed two Gabbai because it was the Oila. There was no Oila and the Baal Kriya.
So you need a third person. Three. Excellent. Okay.
So now that's
excellent. Okay, here at Baruch, what he's saying is that since originally the one that got the Aliyah, the one you need three people. We need three people by the Bima to represent HaKadosh Ribbono Shel Olam, Moshe and Klal Yisrael. Originally, the one that got the Aliyah, he was the Baal Kriya. You lay in your own Aliyah. So then you're only going to have two people at the Bima. So therefore, you're saying there should be a third person to fulfill the Zohar, to represent Matan Torah. There were three partners in Matan Torah. There was Moshe, the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Klal Yisrael. So you need there to be three individuals to represent this trial of Matan Torah. It's a reenactment of Matan Torah. So if you only had, in the original times, the one that got the Aliyah was the one that got the Aliyah was the Oyelah. Or let's say even today, let's say you give the Baal Kriya an Aliyah. If you give the Baal Kriya an Aliyah, you're only going to be having at the Bima two people. So therefore, you always have as a backup, no matter what, loy plug, you have a Gabai Sheni. This is an interesting idea. A Baruch, what do you say about this? A backup?
I don't agree with it.
Why?
Why happens if you're calling? They're calling.
Yeah.
The Gabai, the Baal Kriya, and the Oyelah are the same person, the Kohen.
The Gabai?
So
we said that there shouldn't be. That's a given. We said a given that it does not appear to be proper that the Gabai should be the Baal Kriya. You have to have three. Mishnah Berurah says this.
According to the reading of the Lush in the Mishnah Berurah, it seems to be that you only need three people.
Correct. But I was just saying, what happens in the situation where they want to give the Baal Kriya an Aliyah? It happens once in a while. The Baal Kriya is a Chiv.
Yeah,
so then what do you do in that case?
You have to bring up a third person.
You got to bring up a third person. Exactly.
Maybe that's why the previous Aliyah stands until it's over.
Beginning, you have to break the order of a Gabai, the Baal Kriya, and the Oyelah, you don't need a fourth person.
Okay, right. You know, right. We're just saying a backup, just in case. Okay. So we have to just pay attention to this reality. You have to have at the Bima, at all times, three people. Three people should be there at all times because it is a reenactment of Matan Torah. Okay, let's go to some halacha, jump around. Now, are you allowed to give a father and a son, Aliyos, back to back? No, why not? Everyone knows that you don't give a father and a son a lease back to back. Why not? So the basic reason, there are two reasons. Reason number one is Ayin Hara. Ayin Hara, there's something called Ayin Hara. Oh, father and a son, not everyone is Zaycha, father and son and Ayin Hara.
Two brothers
also, Ayin Hara. Two rather. Now, what about a grandfather? Are you allowed to give a grandfather and a grandson, Ben from the son? A grandfather and his grandson from his son. So the minig is no. Also, it's also an ayin hara. What about a grandson from a daughter? So this is a big machlokes, it seems. We have two gabbaim over here. Mordechai, what did you do in your shul? A grandfather and a grandson, but a grandson from a daughter, not from a son. So he cites over here, there are different minhagim. Some hold it's not a problem at all, and some hold no. Loy plug. You don't give a grandfather and a grandson, even if the grandson is from the daughter. Now, Baruch, what did you do?
Never did it.
You never did it.
Yeah, we avoided it.
You avoid it. You avoid. Okay. Now, what about what now? Shvi, because you're mafsik. Okay, the exception is Shvi and Maftir, will not makbit, because you're mafsik with the Kaddish.
And two Sifrei Torah.
And two Sifrei Torah. So when it's completely something different, you're not makbit. Okay, what about Hagba Glila? Everybody say Hagba Glila. So this Shaila, he cites here, my great-grandfather, the Rei Shurav, the Avnei Chavetz, he cites over here. And the Rei Shurav says, it depends. If you're in a shul where they make a mishaberach for the Magbiyah v'Hagoylel, and they call them by name, then you should not do it because of Ayin Hara. But if you're in a shul where they don't give make a mishaberach, not every shul they make a mishaberach for the Magbiyah and the Goylel. Many shuls, some shuls, they only make the mishaberach for the oilim, the one that gets the aliyah. Hagba galila, especially during the weekday. I mean, even they don't call up during the week. It's not a matter of mishaberach. It's not a matter of it's even calling up. When you call up, so there's ayin har because you're calling up back to back. But let's say, but if you're not, commercials don't actually, no one, very rare to call up. Young people used to call up, Ya Amoid, Hamagbiya, V'hagoylel l'sefer rishayim. Okay, but moshels, they don't call up the magbia. They don't call up by name. They don't even do that. And they, but they do make some shuls. They do make a mishaberach. For they make me shberach avaseinu avra mitzav yakvi baruch es so and so bavur sheyale lehagbaas atayra v'yes so and so bavur sheyale galilas atayra on Shabbos. So if you make a me shberach for the magbia v'hagodol, you're mentioning them by name. Halavai, someone should be paying attention in shul. What's going on? Halavai, halavai, the gabai should enunciate their names clearly. You have to see what we, you have to. You have to. It's a very big art. Then. So when he says if they make a Misha Berach with the name, then the Inyan of Ayin Hara applies. But if you're in a shul where they do not make a Misha Berach with the name for the Magbi of Ahagolel, the Avnei Chefet says there is no problem, there is no Ayin Hara. The Iker Ayin Hara is when you call attention to what is happening by calling them out by name. Okay, now, what about, let's say the Gabbai makes a mistake. And the gabbai calls up a son after a father. You go to a shul, that happens. The gabbai first, he calls up the father. And then the next aliyah, he makes a mistake and he calls up the son. Or vice versa, the son and the father, or the grandfather, the grandson. What should you do? The paskins over here, lo yale. He writes over here from the Shari Ephraim. Okay, this is all. A lot of the halachas of Kriyas HaTorah are found in the Rosh Hashanah. We don't learn this inside. Is Rosh Hashanah, all the Inyani Rosh Hashanah. Very popular sefer for Inyani Rosh Hashanah. And there's a lot of other halachas that relate to the entire year. And if he calls up by mistake, so if they call up the son after the father, lo yale b'shnei achim or avabein im kira'uhu lo yale. However, let's say the son didn't realize what was going on. They called him up. He wasn't paying attention that his father got the previous aliyah, and he ascends. He walks up to the bima, v'yimala lo yered. It's like korbanos. There are certain korbanos lo mamish like korbanos kachim. So give kachim. There are certain korbanos that are apostle. That it depends on the type of soul. Lo yala, you do not put it on the mizbeach. But imala lo yered. If they call up a father, son, and the son didn't know what was going on, well, the two brothers, then do not descend. Okay, now,
and the second,
what about,
it just goes up on
the now side. That's only father, son, or two brothers. Let's say they call up a father, a grandfather, and they call up by mistake the grandson, then you're allowed to go up. Grandfather and a grandson, we don't have the same hakpada of ayin hara. Memela, if they buy the gabbai, buy him, it could happen. These things happen in some shuls. There's a simcha, and everyone, the gabbai is very fatrach, they drive him crazy. This one is, that one is aliyah, this one's yards, and he makes a mistake. He calls up the grandfather and he calls up the grandson. So they call up the grandson and the grandfather in either order, yale, it's okay. A rabbi has to know these halachas, yale. Two brothers, father, son, lo yale, vim olo lo yer. Now, I forgot to tell you what. I've got to tell you, there's another reason why two brothers.
What is the
Ayin Hara? Is that, you see, Baruch Hashem, we live in a society today where families are very large and Baruch people have Parnasa. So people today don't perceive this as being such a big Ayin Hara. But it seems that in the time earlier in generations where people lived a much more difficult life, not everyone was Zoicha to have such a happy family. Have a father and son together, healthy children, brothers. It wasn't as common as it is today. And people get jealous. They get, look, what a beautiful family, all these children. He has one after another, two brothers, they're successful. Okay, Ayin Hara, it's something which is hard. Now, you're asking a very good question. Let's say there are people, like some Sfardim, there are some people, depends who, are not makbid in Ayin Hara. You tell the gabbai, we come from Shevet Yosef. We're not machmir. There are people out there. We're wearing over here the red bendel. We're wearing. We have all these protective things. In our family, ayin hara is not an issue. Man de loy kapdei loy kaptinan bei. There are people that are not makbid on ayin hara. To them, it's just leave me alone with this stuff. I'm not into this stuff. Living people. Okay, that's not necessarily whatever it is. Let's say you are in a community, you're a family that's not makbid on lashon hara. So the shaila exists: are you allowed? Do you have to obey these laws? Are you allowed to get an aliyah of two brothers, father, son? So the place can deal with this. They basically say no. Doesn't matter. Even though you are not makbid on ayin hara, this is a public event. You're in a shul, and even though you'll tell me the whole community is not makbid on ayin hara, it's not true. There are always people that are makbid on ayin hara. There's no such thing that in Klal Yisrael there is no ayin hara. It is true that there are yechidim that are not makbid on ayin hara. But in Klal Yisrael, there is a principle of Ayin Hara, and that cannot be taken away. Therefore, when you come to a shul, it doesn't matter. You maybe in your family, you don't go for this stuff. It doesn't matter. These are the rules. Follow the rules. There is a principle of Ayin Hara. Maybe you don't hold of Ayin Hara. Other people will hold of Ayin Hara. And it's going to get way out of hand when you're going to do for this one, not for that one. And the rules are two brothers, no. Father, son, no. A father and a grandson from a son, no. A father and a grandson from a mother, machlekes. Im alu, they call them up. Lo yalu, im yalu lo yerdu. Except grandfather and a grandson, if they call up even a ben achar ben, you can ascend the bima. Now, one thing I left out that's very important. I told you the whole reason because of ayin hara. That's not the only reason. He cites here in the name of the shulchan of. In the name of, who is this from? Shulchan Aruch? Let me see where we're from. Shulchan Harav? Shulchan Aruch? Does not say that. Who does he cite it from? There's another reason. Eidus Hashem Ne'emona. Simcha Sarah. Eidus Hashem Ne'emona. The testimony of Hashem is faithful. Going up, the reason why two brothers, father, son, may not ascend successively, because they're posel le'edus. Okay, this is what it says. I'm not making this up. Who says this? The Yesh Oimim. Who's the Yesh Oimim? It doesn't cite who the Yesh Oimim over here is. De'ein lohem likroi ze'ach ha'zeh shem psulim le'edus ze lo'zeh uchsiv edus Hashem ne'emona ad kan l'shoinei the Maram Rattenberg. Okay, the Maram Rattenberg nishmosei Eden. This is big stuff. You can't shake off a Maram Rattenberg. Okay, this is heavy stuff. Avmeir Meiranberg says there's a second time why you do not allow two relatives to go up with Zeh Achar Zeh because of the pasuk Eidus Hashem Ne'emon. He was an early Rishon. And Shulchan Aruch does not bring this down. In Shulchan Aruch, it only says the time of Ayin Hara. Okay, now, let's go. What? When you're coming up to the Torah, you're coming to testify the MS of the Torah. Asher nosan lonu Torah's MS. You're coming up, when you make a bracha on the Torah, in essence, you are testifying before the Tzibur that the Torah is Torah's MS. Asher nosan lonu Torah's MS. You can't have two people come up in rapid succession and testify that the Torah is MS because two people are pasul edus, two brothers.
But we know that two people are pasul edus if they're part of the same group. And here we're saying all the aliyahs are really one big group.
Okay, this is so not halacha. This is drush. You're 100% right. This is not real edus. This is not a real edus. This is an inyan. This is the Maram Rattenberg. Maram Rattenberg, when you're coming up to the Sefer Torah, you testify that the Torah is MS. If two brothers come up, Zeach HaZeh, that's not the way you say Eidus. There has to be a hefsek between the two. These are the two reasons of all the various halachas. Okay, let's now go to another topic of Kriyas HaTorah. Let's say you come to a shul and they have, and you come to an Eidus. Eda Hamizrach. You come to a shul where they have a Sefer Torah that is written in a different ksav. It is written in ksav velish. There are two scripts today that are used. Each has a different. They're very, very different, and they have a different misoira. There is the Beis Yosef ksav, and there is ksav velish. And then there's also, in Beis Yosef, there is Arizal. Arizal is not a different ksav. It's just a different, there are certain nuances that are different about their the way they write their letters. They're very, very minor differences between the Beis Yosef and the ksav Arizal, but it's basically the Beis Yosef. But ksav Velish is what the Svardim use, and it's very, very different. It's an entirely different way of writing, and it's a different ksav. Are you, an Ashkenazi, allowed to, first of all, are you Yoytze Kriya Satorah? Are you Yoytze Kriya Satorah by listening to Kriya Satorah from a Sefer Torah that is not written in your tradition? The answer is absolutely yes. Not a Sarah L'Chatchil, of course, but absolutely yes. And not only that, you can take an Aliyah. They can call you up, you can make an Aliyah, and you can make a Bracha. However, let's say you find yourself in a Teimoni Shul. Anyone, are there a Teimoni Shul in Flatbush somewhere? I'm sure there is. Somewhere.
I think lower level is
that the Teimoni Shuls, their Sifrei Torah, they have a few different changes in the actual spelling of the words. There are a handful, I don't remember them now, there are a few words that are actually spelled different. So Pas is a word in Parshas Noyach.
Same with
a Chabad
shul.
No, Chabad is Psua Dacha, we'll get to that in a second. There's a much more significant, the word is a different word. It's a different word. It's a different, the differences between everyone and the Teimonim is a significant difference. He cites here in the name of the Poskim that an Ashkenazi and even a Sfardi is not Yoytze Kriya Satorah with a Sefer Torah from a Teimoni. And you are not allowed to get an Aliyah, because it's not your tradition, and it is significantly different.
Would it make sense of theirs?
They're more accurate? You can't say that. That's not. You can't say they're more accurate. Hanach lochem lishol me'enim vim b'neinavim. Just because they did not go into Golos, and their Mesorah is very strong, and their pronunciation is very strong, it doesn't matter. Our Mesorah is just as strong. Therefore, and there are differences, and the differences are significant. How do you define significant? I do not know, but this is what it says, that a person comes to Sefer Torah, the Shevet HaLevi, other Poskim, Nishal, I read you what it says, the Shevet Levi, Rabbi Wozner, Rabbi Shmuel Wozner, Nishal, Me'anshe Beis HaKnesh, Shekim Sefer Torah, Teimoni, Immutonim Likores Boy, Veheshev Shebevadai Lechatchila, Ein Likores B'Sefer Torah, Teimoni, Oidois, Hashinuim Sheyeshlam B'Mesores, Aval HaNimse Mokam Shem Sefer Torah, he only says that if you have nothing else, Mamish, nothing else, then you can be Yitzah. However, he says that when it comes to the difference between, I'm sorry? No, cannot. Both ways. No, because the significance are different. However, Aksav, Velish, and Beis Yosef, it's not a Lechatchila, but obviously the rules are much more relaxed. Now, what did Rav Meir ask? There's another difference, and that is from the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov, there's one letter, Chabad. Chabad is very into this. All the Sifrei Torah of Chabad, besides the fact that they've written Ksav Arizal, they spell one word different than everyone else. Pitsua Daka. They spell Pitsua Daka with the letter Aleph at the end. Dalit Chof Aleph. In all of Sifrei Torah that are not from the world of Chabad, Pitsua Daka is spelled with the letter He. Dalit Chof He. I remember in the Young Israel we had a Chabad Sefer Torah that was Pitsua Daka with an Aleph. Can a person that's not a member, a card-carrying member of Chabad, this is the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, but it's only is Shulchan Aruch Harav, I don't know, but only they today preserve this tradition where they makbid that the Sefer Torah should be written Petsua Dako with an Aleph, the Baal HaTanya, okay, the Baal Shem Tov. The Aleph, that's the Balatanya. The Balatanya, Shulchan Aruch Harav, it should be spelled with an Aleph. So the answer is we're Mekel. The Olam is Mekel. We do not make a big deal. It's a Pella, even though it's a mamish, a difference in spelling. Aleph versus the letter He. See, this is not as significant as the Teimonim. The Teimonim, they have a different word. There's one or two places where the word is mamish, a different word. There's no difference in the pronunciation. When you say daka, it doesn't make a difference if you spell daka with an aleph or you spell daka with a hey. It's the same pronunciation. So, but how do you end off the letter, aleph or hey? So the minhag ha'olam is to be makel. It doesn't matter. If you have in front of you a sefer so that you know as a fact is spelled betzua daka with an aleph, and no one in the shul is a member of Chabad, it's okay. I remember Chabad, they have another minhag. They have another minhag Chabad.
You have two sefer Torah.
L'chatchila,
you should take that.
Of course, the chatchila, right? L'chatchila in a shul that's only it's not Chabad. It's not what you should be using. But like I remember, I davened. They did not have enough sefer Torah to go around. There were different minyanim. That was sefer Torah they used, so they used it. So it's fine. So it says with an alf. I remember once. You know, the Chabad has another minhag. The real Chabad people. You know how you tell a real Chabad person is if you're the Baal Kriya. This is how you know the real Chabad. They're very makbid on this. I don't know why, but they're very makbid, probably from the Baal, I'm assuming it's from Shulchan Aruch Rav. When they get an aliyah, they will ask the Baal Kriya. No, normally the Baal Kriya, every Baal Kriya shows you where it starts. But they want to know where it ends. What?
Beginning and end.
Yeah. They're very makbid on this. I remember... No, I don't think so. There's no lechatchila. No, I'm not mistaken. There is no lechatchila to show a person where it ends, where it starts. You have to make the bracha where it starts with zehu. There's no inyan.
Triple play.
What's a triple play? Why is a triple play? We just lost the Zoom people disappeared. The computer went out. We'll see what happens. It'll come back soon. But Chabad, I remember once I was once leaning and there was a simcha and all of a sudden the shul was double the size. What happened here today? Why are there so many people? There was an oifraf and the chassan, unbeknownst to all of us, was from a prominent Chabad family. And the whole mishpacha came to the oifraf and they got all the aliyahs. And guess what? Yours truly. It was my week on the rotation to lane. Had I known, I would have ducked to lane. Okay, so now some parashios. Okay, we want to apologize to our online audience. We got cut off for a second. Everyone over here wants to know what the triple play is. Where is Safta? He disappeared. Oh, here he is. What does it mean, triple play? Rabbi Baruch, please tell us, what is the triple play? We can't hear you. Okay, he's frozen. We'll have to get him later. We'll get him later. They called up the aliyahs, and every single person said, show them where it starts. And they said, where does it end? So the first aliyah I was able to find. He kissed where it starts, where it ends. Second aliyah, and as we went on, you know, it depends on the parsha, some of the, where it ends. It ends in the middle of nowhere. He's not on mute. He's off mute. There's something wrong with his connection. He's not. It's his connection. Oh, I'm sorry. They called him. Okay, I'm sorry. I was on mute. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm back online. Okay, Mr. Kolodny, I'm back online. Oh, no, I lost him again. I don't know. Okay.
Recording in progress.
Okay, I apologize to the online audience. It's not my fault here. The computer is going on, in and out. Okay, we want to get back to Safta. Rabbi Baruch, are you there? No, Rabbi Baruch is not here. He's not here. Okay, whatever. Let's go back to our question. So Chabad. Chabad have a custom, Rabbi Isai. They ask you, where does it start? Where does it end? Every single aliyah, they ask me, where does it end? And I was like spooked out. You gotta be joking here. Where does it end? I didn't know this.
I tell them there's no chance because they're gonna tell me in the middle to make a whole sofa. So how do I know when it's gonna be?
Where does it end? They're very mocking, and they didn't let me go. And like I said, come on, leave me alone here. No. Where does it end? And they these are like chashuva people. These are like there was this like a very distinguished Chabad family. No. Where does it end? So I had to find where it ends, and they don't like that because I go very fast. You gotta go very fast. No monkey business here. You gotta move quickly. So we had to find where it ends. So it just occurred to me, wait a minute, all you guys here, you're getting all the aliyahs, the whole Chabad over here moved into the yeshiva over here. We have over here a 770. We changed the address on the yeshiva to 770. But the Sefer Torah is not even kosher for you. Because this Sefer Torah, it says Petsua Daka with a hey. And you, the same way you're so makbid to know where the Aliyah ends, you're makbid that Petsua Daka should be spelled with an Aleph. But that didn't hold them back from taking an Aliyah. Every single Aliyah, I think, went to someone from Chabad. I don't know, maybe, whatever it was.
Is that a Greek concern, or is it
the... No, no, it's the way it's... No, there's no difference. It's the way it is spelled. So bottom line, what are the rules? The rules over here, the bottom line over here is there are there's another thing we would like to discuss, and it's the, even the Ksav, the Arizal, there are some people that get all worked up over the letter Tzadi. The letter Tzadi is spelled with a backwards, in the Ksav Arizal, a backwards Yud. Okay, you have to look at the picture. But some people, even those who prefer to use the Ksav Arizal, are very disturbed with the tsuras ha'ois of the letter tzadi. So sach hakol, how many shinuim do we really have in today in the modern world today? How many shinuim? So first of all, there are basically two scripts. There are only two scripts. There is the Beis Yosef script, and then there is the script that is called the Ksavelish script. That's it. There's nothing more than that. That's all there is. No one should. Beis Yosef is what we're very accustomed to, the black letters, and the Ksav Velish is the Svardish script, which the letters are more round. Two different scripts. In the Ksav Beis Yosef, there is a variation called Arizal. And in the Arizal, there's a variation of how to make the letter Tzadi. So that's it. There's nothing more than this. There's Beis Yosef, Velish. In Beis Yosef, there's Arizal. In Arizal, there are two different ways you can make the letter Tzadi. So everyone has their hang-ups over this. There are some people that will go berserk. They will not take an Aliyah on a base on an Arizal that has the letter Tzadi the way the Arizal. I think Rabbi Reisman. Rabbi Reisman goes, he's very into this. Rabbi Reisman, if I'm not mistaken, he says that it's possible. And he got into a lot of trouble by saying that. Okay, Rabbi Reisman is very, very not into the letter Tzadi of the Arizal. It should be written like the Beis Yosef. Then, in the actual letters of the Sefer Torah, so there is, it's pretty much, it's the, for Ashkenazim and Sfardim, it is exactly the same. There's no difference whatsoever in today's Mesorah. The only difference is the Balatanya, the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, which are makbid to write their Sifrei Torah with the Psua Daka with the letter Aleph, versus what we are familiar with the letter He. The Teimonim have much more. They have the Ksavelish, and they have, but the Teimonim have a different words. There are some significant differences in the actual spelling of I don't know. In some in Parshas Noach there's a word. Maybe there's somewhere else another word. And that is a very significant difference, which creates a different level of bidyavid lechatchila when you're going to a teimoni shul and you're not a teimoni. If you should really be yoytze kriya satoira, and if you should, what?
I bet you it's the word haitzei
itoch. No, it could be. It could be. I don't know.
It could be good. Guessing.
Okay. This is an issue. Okay. Now. Well, obviously, yes, it's a problem. It is a problem. It is a problem. It really is a problem. It's not a joke. It's a problem. It's not a... Okay, now next thing. When you get an Aliyah, what is the procedure of getting an Aliyah? When you get an Aliyah, so it's really machlokes in the Shulchan Aruch, the Farish of Gemara. We have Gemara. How the proper way to get in there? Bottom line is there are two minhagim of how to make the brachos when you get an aliyah. Now, first of all, when you get an aliyah, they show you the Baal Kriya. It is his duty to show you the place. Now, after he shows you the place, it is the minhag to kiss with your tzitzis where it starts. Now. In all the old Mepharshim, if you take your talis, and you go, they show you where it starts, Vayidaber, you put your talus on the word Vayidaber. Some of the early Paiskim, they go ballistic, and they say, don't you dare touch the Sefer Torah, ad kedei kach, yemi machal Shabbos. Mechiga, you'll go and you'll touch the Vayidaber, and by touching it, you'll rub out. You'll rub out. So not only are you going to passel the Sefer Torah, and now there's a whole shaila, can you make a bracha, which is not necessarily such a big problem. So not only are you going to passel it, but also if you, one of the avos melacha is to erase. Moichek al manas lichtoif. It has to be moichek al manas lichtoif. Okay, it's not moichek al manas lichtoif. But it's yimamish chil Shabbos. It's chil Shabbos. What?
Sefer had told me that during COVID, there was less psul in the Sefer Torahs from people spitting as they taught and then laying along.
Yeah.
And the spit would hit the letters. And it would cause it to, there was a lot less than that.
Why was that less? Wearing masks?
Masks. That's what he said. During COVID, there was a lesser amount of these
psulim. Okay, so many of the Paiskim said that you shouldn't do this. You should not touch the letters. And what should you do? You should kiss on the gilyon. The proper thing is don't touch the letter. The proper thing is to show you where the place is. You kiss, you take the tzitzis, and you touch the margin. The margin alongside of the letter.
Or the outside.
Now the truth is today this is not an issue. Today the new Sifrei Torah, all the new, the last 50 years, you can scratch it all you want and nothing is going to happen. Talk about a new Sifrei Torah, not about the old Sifrei Torah, they'll pop off the page, even just by looking at it, it'll pop off, the ink will pop off. But today all the new Sifrei Torah, even if you take a razor and try to erase the letter, it's not the ink today that is used by the Sifrim. It's so strong. It does not come up. Whenever a Sefer has to erase a letter today, they have to take away part of the parchment. They scrape away a thin layer. There's no such thing today as making a correction where they go and they scrape away the ink. The only way you can today erase a letter on a Sefer Torah today with today's ink is by scraping off a fraction of the thickness of the parchment. So therefore, it's not the end of the world today to take your talus, your tzitzis, to kiss it, and to actually rub the letter itself, because if it's of a new Sefer Torah, the ink is not coming up. No way. I mean, you deal in Safras. However, it's still whatever. There are different opinions. Okay, now you make the bracha. Now, if you ever notice, I once saw this by the Sfaradim, you have a daven, the Sfarad Shul, the Sefer Torah is vertical. They put the Sefer Torah on the bima, it's vertical. And then they have like a table, like a shmata. They open up, they open it up, and then there is like a veil that hangs down. Now here, the issue is, this is the Gemara, and this is a topic in and of itself. When you make the bracha on the Sefer Torah, we're very concerned. Halavai, we should be such a madrega to be concerned about these things, that someone's going to be watching you. Believe me, no one's watching you. These halachas are very strange. But when you're making the bracha, everyone is watching. It's Matan Torah, right? It's Matan Torah, everyone's watching. And if you're going to go open the Sefer Torah and say, Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevorach, people are going to think that the brachas are written in the Torah. They're going to think that. Did you ever think that? When you saw one get an aliyah, did you ever think that when he's saying Baruch Hu, he's reading the brachos from the Sefer Torah?
It's on the card on the side.
I don't know, but this is a halach in Shulchan Aruch, in the Gemara. We don't want anyone to chas v'sholoim make a mistake and think that the blessings are written in the Sefer Torah. A pella. So what are you supposed to? So you have two options. The Gemara says machlekes tanoim. Mamish machlekes tanoim in the Mishnah. One opinion says they show you the place so you know you're making a brach on, and you goylel the Sefer Torah. Close it. And then you make the bracha. If you close it, no one can say that the brachas are written in the Sefer Torah. Others say that's not a nice thing to do to close it, because then it's not, the bracha is not over la asiyosan, because you have to then open it and find the place again. So the best thing to do is to look to the side. Others say looking to the side is disrespectful. Disrespectful. So another is to close your eyes. You should close your eyes. You have to know that's why, by the way, why it used to be. I don't know what happened today. It used to be you never ever saw on a bima the blessings. This is a new thing, the last 15 years. There's not a shul today that doesn't have on the bima the brachas. When we were kids, Rabbi Isai, you never, ever, ever, anyone to prove me wrong over here? Anyone want to disagree? Rabbi Mordechai, when you were a child, did you ever see on the bima the blessings on the bima? When you were a child?
No,
never. This is a new thing. Why? It was the ultimate busha not to know the brachas baal peh. It was a different generation. It was a different generation. Even the biggest Am HaAretz would memorize the brachos whether he liked it or not. You wouldn't be caught dead not knowing the brachos, the Torah, the brachos of the Torah. Shalei Beruch Ba Torah Tchila. Why was the Churban? Why was there a Churban Beis HaMikdash? Shalei Beruch Ba Torah Tchila. That's why we're in Galus. So there's one thing you're going to know how to do, Baal Peh, you're going to know how to make those brachos baal peh. Today, I don't know what happened to us. For some reason, there's no busha, and not knowing the brachos baal peh. And you see even very chashuv people. They look at the bima. They look at the bima. And they look at the bima on the bima. Every bima today, they should already make...
Because there's another side to that, and we have many gedolim that they will only daven and say brachos from reading it inside.
That's not the Messiah. On the first of all, that's not the Messiah when it comes to...
They will not say anything. Pesach Shimer with bench from a sitter. There was no such a thing.
And he made the brachas. He made the brachas on Aliyah from a sitter.
I'm going to find that out.
Got to find that out. You have to find it out. It would appear that the Messiah was that the Birchay Sator was said Baal Peh. And some said the best thing to do is to close your eyes. So they're basically three minhagim. And each one has powerful sources. When you get an aliyah, they show you the place. You can then do one of three things. One thing to do is to close the Sefer Torah and make the brachas. That's valid. No one's going to tell you did anything wrong. The second thing to do, which I think is the most common, is to keep the Sefer Torah open and you turn your head to the side. And the third thing to do is no, bedafka, don't turn your head to the side. No. Just close your eyes. Close your eyes. I never heard a little bit.
I've seen that a lot.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. So
I never saw. Okay.
Find the place
still
again.
Open.
So the place. But at the second aliyah, then you close it completely.
When you finish.
When you finish.
When you finish, of course, because
when
you finish, you go.
You just keep it a little bit closer.
A little bit, so there's no
after you point the place.
The only exception, though, is that for the haftorah. When if you lay in from klaf and even from a chumish, you're supposed to keep it open, in order to show that it's different. You're not leaning from a sefer Torah. It's Mishnah Berurah. This is a mistake that some gabbais make when you're leaning from klaf, from parchment, for the half Torah. When they finish the half Torah, you must keep it open. You must keep the Navi open as the one that gets the mafter. He says those long blessings, those long four blessings. Why? In order to publicize that this is not a Sefer Torah. This is not a Sefer Torah, in order to show that it's different. We don't give this the same sanctity as Sefer Torah where you close it right away for its honor. You keep it open to distinguish a Navi, Navi. Now, does this also apply to a Chumash? Most shuls, they don't read it. They do not read it from a klaf, they read it from a tanach or from a regular chumash. Some hold there's no advantage using a tanach, it's a regular chumash. So I've seen many times, and I think it's disrespectful almost, as soon as he finishes, they slam it shut. And then they slam shut the chumash, and then the person makes the blessings. The person, baruch atah, and they acknowledge, they slam it shut. Get rid of it. Let's move on. L'chaira, it's not right. L'chaira, I'm assuming, maybe I'm wrong, I have to look into this more. L'chaira, when you lay in from a chumash, it should be no different than if you would lay in from a tanach. Madach, we learn from a Tanakh, from a cloth, from parchment. There, it's befeirish, it's halacha. You mechuyev to keep it open. You're supposed to keep it open. You're supposed to keep it open. So just because you're learning from a chumash, you shouldn't keep it open. It shouldn't be any worse. And also, it takes away this attitude. Oh, let's get rid of it. Get it over with already. There's a certain disrespect. Like, just let's move on. That's not right. That's not right. It's chaviv. The words of the prophets are precious, and there's no emergency to shut the navi. If when you have a klaf, which is kedusha and parchment and dioy, there you're supposed to keep it open until you finish all of the blessings. So why should it be different when you have a chumash and you have a tanach? So you're making the blessings on, you're making the bracha acharoina on what you just read. It's not, keep it open. You keep it open until the very last end. But now by the Svardim, it seems, what I'm reading over here, I know nothing about this because I don't really dive in Svardish shuls, but by the Svardim, because they have it standing there and they have that little, that you don't actually close it. When the Svardim, when they land, they have this, they stand up vertically, and it's standing vertically, they don't close it in between the aliyas. They put that little curtain. They take that little cloth, and they just cover it. So some hold that when by the svardim, when they make the bracha, they show you the place, and then you cover it. Because there, you're not, it's not called goylel, you're not mamish closing it, you're keeping it open, the whole thing is, container is open, and if you're going to read straight ahead, it looks like there are brachos written in the Torah. So, and there, you're not, so you just cover it. Now, you'll ask the question, why, Taka, don't we do the same thing by our Sefer Torah? Interesting, no one takes the mappa. No one takes the mappa when you show the person Aliyah. Okay, Megan Aliyah, the Sefer Torah is open. Here's the place. You never ever saw anywhere where they take the mappa and they cover the open Sefer Torah. You never saw that. L'chor, it's no different than the Sfardim do.
I've seen where they take the Sefer Torah, he closes the Sefer Torah, actually puts the mantle back on over it, makes his bracha, and then they take
that's,
it.
Oh,
come to Rabbi Yoshi Shulam.
That's an extreme thing to do.
You'll see him do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow, you learn something new every single day. Now, to conclude, we're out of time. Oh, it's too late. Is that okay? We'll have to leave another time. But think, what is this about? There's something very deep about this concept, and no one should say that the blessings are written in the Torah. A very big hakpadah. What does that mean? The blessings are in the Torah. There's a mussar. When you make a bracha, you're saying, oh, I'm going to get rich. A blessing. Baruch atah Hashem, you are the source of all blessing. It's like, when you make a bracha, there's a certain connotation, I won the jackpot. No one should say that by observing the Torah, it's like a segula to get rich. Get rich quick. You have to observe the Torah because of the Torah. Don't, when you make blessings on the Torah, it has to be nuanced in the proper way. There's almost a benefit. Oh, there's a benefit. There is no benefit. Elu oichel perasein boilom hazeh v'akeren Kayemes loy loylam haba. We don't want people to walk around and think, oh, the blessings are in the Torah, are written in the Torah. If you do a mitzvah, you're guaranteed to strike it rich. No. There are no guarantees for nothing in this world. You are mekayim the Torah l'shma, because Hashem told you to observe the Torah. Blessings? Hashem gives blessing. To when he wants, to who he wants, how he wants, and some people only get their blessing in the next world. Don't mislead the population by telling them, you do a mitzvah, guaranteed you're gonna win the lottery. It's not the way it works. That's not Judaism. There has to be a separation. No one should say the blessings are written in the Torah. You don't learn Torah because you want to get rich and be successful. You observe the Torah because Hashem told you to observe the Torah. V'soif ha-brocha is lovoy. But it's not written. You have to have emunah. Okay, we'll stop here.